went over and spent most of the class time over in Ruth and looking at where Ruth was redeemed. And Boaz redeemed not only Ruth and Naomi, but he redeemed Orpha. And I guess here in the last 3 or 4 months of studying that, it had never really hit me about Orpha, because the whole emphasis of reading in Ruth is Ruth. But when you think about Orpha, she was redeemed also. Boaz redeemed all that Abimelech owned and had before in his sons. And my thought was, I wonder if anyone ever went and told Orpha she'd been redeemed. We should tell everyone that we can, everyone that we meet, about redemption. They should know it. It hit me as I studied that. And what we're going to look at today, did the plate go there? It come. Is the angel of the Lord, or an angel. And this is, one time I taught this a lesson years and years ago on angels, and I should have probably left it alone. But Ernest has had a guest with him that day, and he was Ann Bartlett, Ann's preacher, and he was traveling. He had visited with us, and he was telling me, he said, man, that's a tough subject to teach on angels. It is very tough. But I want us to look at the angel of the Lord and Christ as that angel of the Lord. Now, that, and like I said, it gets tricky. And a lot of people will argue these points, but you know me. I use the King James Bible, and that's all I use. And I use reference of Scripture to Scripture. I don't speak any Greek, don't know any anymore. I don't know any Hebrew. So I'm not going to tell you what it means in this and that, because I don't know what it means in this and that. I'm just reading what's here in this King James Bible. And I want us to look at some scriptures today and with the thought, and I know what people will think. You know, the angel of the Lord announced, which if people would say, well, if Jesus, if he's the angel of the Lord, then how did he announce his own birth to the shepherds when he was in Mary's womb? Let me tell you, if you read Revelation and see the different places he's at the different times, as I thought and I wrote down on my notes as I was reading somebody's comment on that, how could he be in my heart and your heart and be seated at the right hand of God? Answer me that one. We'll teach that. You see? Hey, you can't limit where God's at. It says in Psalms, if I ascend into hell, he's there. You can't hide from yourself from him. And let's look at some Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's go there first. And I don't know how this lesson may stretch 2 weeks. I don't know. But it says in Malachi 3:1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. If you mark your Bible, mark that somewhere. You don't lose that statement. The messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi. Now, you see here, he's the messenger of the covenant. And he was a messenger in the Old Testament. Now, I want you to keep that in mind, the statement, I will send my messenger. Okay? Now, let's look at 2:17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or where is the God of judgment? That's America today right there. Calling bad good and good evil. But let's go to Genesis 3:8. And I want you to keep in mind what we just read there, a message. Now, we were here in this scripture not long ago. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now remember that word, presence. Okay, the presence of God. He hid themselves. They heard the voice of God. Now, I'm not going to get deep into that, but we looked at the Word of God. Now, he's the Word of God. He's the voice of God. Now, I'm going to try to stay with my notes because this is tough and it's tricky. Now, let's go to Revelation 19:7. We're going to read a lot of scripture today. I should probably make the notes of them and run them off. I just don't have any way to do it. I could copy this, but you're probably not reading my writing that well. And a lot of times I don't even follow it. Revelation 19 and verse 7. Make sure that I'm right here. Revelation 19 and verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren. Now, you see, this angel is not wanting to be worshipped here, right? Right now what? I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he just judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now, he has a name, like I said in that lesson, that no man knew, but his name, we know what it's called. It's called the Word of God. He is the messenger of God. He is the Word of God. He is the messenger of the covenant. Okay? Now I want you to turn to Judges. Chapter 7. Judges chapter 13, excuse me. We're going to look at several verses here. You know, this is announcing the angel of the Lord appears to the woman and tells her she's going to have about the child, about Samson. And then I want you to look at this wording here. We're going to look at several verses here. And verse 3 is the first one. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now, I want you to notice here, it's the angel of the Lord. Okay? Then look at verse 6. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came. She's telling it like it's a prophet, But she's saying, then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. All right. Then look at verse 9. And Manoah, he cried, he's praying here in verse 8. He said, entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. Now he goes on there and tells her, you know, tells them what they're supposed to do with the child. And then look in verse 15. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord, you follow me still, your angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, I hope I'm saying that right. Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? Remember Revelation now. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? Now, when you're looking at Gabriel and angels that needed to be given a name, were given a name there. But when this angel appears here, then these scriptures I'm giving you, it's the angel of the Lord. Or sometimes it'll say an angel of the Lord. Now, I understand people smarter than me like to change that. And they'll put an every place there's an A and change A ain't that. They just don't believe God can show up where he wants to show up and do what he wants to do. I'm telling you, that's just the way I see that. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after me, my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it come to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. He's the same one that walked in the fiery furnace. He's the same one that talked out of the burning bush. And he ascended in the flame. We can't limit our Lord. And I can't explain him. Okay? But I can read this book and look at it. Now let's look down in verse 22. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen, say it with me, God. Huh? That takes care of it, don't it? He said, we'll surely die. They knew no one could look upon God. But you know, God had a way of communicating with angels, and he worked out a way to communicate with man. And we'll look at that as we move on through this scripture. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord, you see that Lord and God, but his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. There's no angel receives the offerings, only God Almighty. Because it was a sweet smelling savor to the Lord. And the sweetest smelling savor to the Lord ascended up in the flame of that offering. You see that? Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. So there you've got the angel of the Lord. And you see that he said, we've seen God. We've seen God face to face. Jesus said, I am that I am. All right? See if I don't lose my places here. So what I wanted you to look at there was in Genesis 3:8, they heard the voice of God walking in the garden, right? Then we saw in Malachi, he's the messenger of the covenant. He's the voice of God, the messenger of the covenant. All right? And then in Revelation 19:7, he has a name that nobody knew. Then in Judges 13:7, his name is secret. He says, why do you ask that? In the burning bush, he was Jehovah God. Hey, I tried to get some help on this. I tried to look through commentaries and dig out and get somebody. You always want somebody on your side, don't you? But when you look at this Bible and you don't correct it, it's hard to get somebody on your side. All right? I want you to, with that in mind, I want you to look at Genesis 48:16, yeah. And this is Jacob when he's blessing Joseph's children. I'm going to try to move through this to where we don't lose our thoughts as we go. And the angel which redeemed me from all evil. Huh? Now who would that be? Bless the lads, and let thy name be named on them, and the name of my father Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. All right, now I want you to turn to Isaiah 63:9. If you don't want to turn to all these scriptures, that's fine. I'll hit them and we'll read them. But Isaiah 63:9, what he's called here. I'm going to start reading in verse 7. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. And all their affliction he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. The angel of his presence. Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father also, didn't he? He said, when I'm with you, God's with you. The angel of his presence saved them in his love and in his pity. He redeemed them. He brought them out of Egypt. He's the one that was a pillar of cloud that led them. And the fire. Cloud by day and a fire by night. That fire is a consuming fire too. If you go over there, and I think it's about Isaiah 37, that angel of the Lord killed 185,000 people. When the king woke up and looked, his army was corpses. And then God took care of him a little later. Hey, this, and Manoah's wife said his countenance was terrible. You know, he's a God of love, and he's a God of wrath. All right? In Genesis 18:1, I want us to go to Genesis chapter 18, and we'll quickly go through some scriptures here. I don't believe you have any doubt in knowing who that angel is when you go back and look at the scriptures. In Genesis 18 and verse 1. And the Lord, now who appeared? Who appeared to Abraham in the door? And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains. And then let's go down to some other verse. We see in verse 3. And he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Now who did Abraham serve? Serve God, not an angel, but the angel of the Lord he did. And we'll read the scripture if we have time today where Paul said, an angel of the Lord appeared with me, whose I am and whose I serve. He also said over in Colossians, you worship angels, you're not to worship angels. So this is not a created angel. It's the angel of the Lord, the angel of his presence, the messenger of the covenant. That's who that is. And he appeared to men in that form as an angel of the Lord. All right, now let's move on. Let's look at verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? So it's the Lord that spoke. And then you go down to 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's the Lord that's going to do this, and is anything too hard for him? Absolutely not. Look at verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Now look at verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now. So who stood at the tent door? I mean, that's a simple. I tell you, I read all this stuff. They try to tell me what this means and what it says. And I don't have that hard a time reading. I mean, I might not be that smart, but I don't have that hard a time reading that. When he said, I will go down, that means he went down. When it said the Lord stood at the door, that means the Lord stood at the door. I mean, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Just because I don't understand it, how he can be all these paces at once. I don't understand how he can be in my heart and your heart and be seated on the right hand of God and be the lamb with the horns on the throne, beside the throne or in front of the throne. But he is. He's all those things. All right? Now, in Daniel 6:22, let me read this before we go any farther. Turn to Acts 27:23. I told you a while ago we'd look at this verse in case the time hits us too hard. Before we might make it through this. Acts 27:23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God. That's just not an angel, folks. That's just not one of God's angels. That is the angel of God. And Paul will explain that to you. He said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Now look at Colossians 2:18. He wasn't no angel worshiper. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. But he said, this one I belong to and I serve. The angel of God. All right, now, he had already ascended, had he not? And he's seated at the right hand of the Father, is he not? And he's in your heart at that same time. Or in Paul's heart, was he not? But he also appeared as the angel of God before him. If you try to limit God and try to explain everything in this Bible, you'll go flat crazy. This is God, and you cannot limit him and his son. He had a representative to man as an angel of God. And in Hebrews 2, he said he took not upon him the nature of angels. He had before. But he took not upon him the nature of angels, but he took the seed of Abraham. Why? Let's just go look and see why. Hebrews chapter 2. He did it for a reason. He did this, appeared as the angel of the Lord for a reason. To guide Israel. To direct the prophets. To warn. To be a messenger of the covenant. Then in Hebrews 2, I'm going to read several verses here. Verse 8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. A little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. The Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. That's why. We heard that statement this week, didn't we? That same statement. The Son of God became the Son of Man, that the Son of Men could become the sons of God. For it became him for whom are all things, and by him are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for whose cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Great is the mystery of godliness, right? Look, remember them mysteries. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's a mystery. The mystery of the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. These are mysteries. And you know what we're supposed to be? Stewards. Moreover, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to the mysteries. Faithful to proclaiming these mysteries of God, Christ in you, Christ the Son of God. And then verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. That's the mystery of the church, his body. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil. He became son of man, become the son of God, became son of man, that he might deliver the sons of men, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, now you see this right here, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. That was the redemption of his blood, of God's blood shed for us. He took on him the seed of Abraham. And in Daniel 6:22, let's turn there. Daniel 6:22. And we'll look at two scriptures here in Daniel. when they throwed him in the lion's den, look here, said, my God has sent his angel. Well, you know, if he's just going to send an angel, probably any one of them could have done it. Probably when it comes to those angels that are pouring out vials and doing things of that nature, powerful. But he sent his angel. Not one of his angels, but he sent his angel, right? And closed that mouth. Daniel 6:22. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. All right, now let's look at Daniel chapter 4. I don't know if I even wrote it down, but chapter 3, verse 25. And he said, when he looked in there, when he looked in that fiery furnace, and he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. He's in the fire. He shut the lion's mouth. He warned the prophets. He took 185,000 soldiers out and didn't even wake them up. And not a racket was made. What a warrior. Why do you think Rome feared him so much when he walked on this earth? What kind of a leader? When they heard about a king that fed 5,000, that walked on water, that raised the dead, you couldn't defeat his army. He could feed them with five fishes or five loaves, whatever it was. He could feed them with a handful of food, and he could raise them from the dead if you killed them. Who wouldn't fear that kind of a leader? You couldn't defeat that army. And he'll come in your camp and kill 185,000 of you at night. And you'll never know he's there because he's the angel of the Lord. Something to think about, isn't it? What about those times running us? So let's look at Simon Peter. And I think that's, I need to learn to make better notes. That's in Acts chapter 12, I'm pretty sure. Let's go there. I love this part. I love Acts. Acts is a transitional book, but I really love it. I don't know. Where's Peter? What's that? Verse 7? Oh, I'm in the wrong place. Okay, I'm over where I'm going to be in a minute. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know those. Acts 12:7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off of his hands. He's the one that can release the chains of what? Death, over in 1 Corinthians 15. He's the one that can release the chains, or he's the one that can put the chain on Satan. Now, I don't want this to sound controversial because you hear all, I've got a lesson that I've taught about a third of it here in this class, what God did not say. And a lot of times teachers and preachers will come out and they'll say things in there that God just didn't say. He didn't say that. And here's one of them. I've heard people say, and it's okay if you hear it. Again, it's all right. I understand the thought of it. But they'll say that the people were praying over in chapter 4 for Peter's release, or praying here in 12 for Peter's release. And then when the damsel come to the door and they seen it, they didn't believe it. But you know what? That's not what they're praying about. You look here in 12:1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand and to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Stephen's been stoned. James's head's been cut off. And Peter's in prison and the church is praying. But you want to see what they're praying about? Turn to chapter 4. They ain't changed their prayers. Let's look in verse 4:24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, that's prayer, and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? They're quoting scripture in prayer here. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined to be done. And now, Lord, here's their prayer. And here's what they prayed. This is how that church prayed. It says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. But this one, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants the boldness to speak the word. They prayed for each other that they would have boldness to preach and to teach and to witness. That was their prayer. People was dying all around them. They wanted them to die with honor to God, not as a coward. All right, now look. Let's look at 5:41. Now we're looking in 4 here and seeing what the church was praying, and we're looking at the attitude of those who were being beaten and killed. And verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. They were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That church prayed that these men would have boldness to speak the word. Hey, they were seeing times. It's just like we pointed out there a few weeks ago, how the church was thinking they'd miss the rapture. And Paul said, I would not have you shaken in mind or troubled about these things. He said, you know, but when you got that much persecution around you, you would think that, wouldn't you? So, all right. So, this angel of the Lord, he's found in Joshua and the burning bush, Exodus 3:4, and you get that same explanation in Acts 7:31-32. And in 3:2, the angel of the Lord is in a flame. He writes, he wrestles with Jacob in Genesis 32. He leads the children in the wilderness in Exodus 23. He rebukes the nation in Judges 6. Appears to Manoah in Judges 13. Ministers to Elijah, 1 Kings 19. Delivered Peter out of the dungeon. Defends God's people when he killed 185,000. And then Paul, he's the angel that delivered Peter out of the dungeon and that Paul served. And he was the angel of the Lord. Now, there's a lot about that I can't explain. Ask me why, you'd have to ask God why. But he with the angels, he was an angel. But with us, he was the Son of Man. He became flesh. But he was not a created angel as they were. He was the angel of the angel of God's presence, the messenger of the covenant, his angel. You know what I saw with that? You're seeing God. Manoah said, surely we'll die, because he'd been told if they seen God, they'd die. He said, surely we'll die. We've seen God. And his wife said, well, surely he wouldn't kill us. If he's going to kill us, he'd already killed us. And she said, he accepted our offering and went up in the flame as a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. Hey, that's what he did for us. He went up in that offering as a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. And you know what? He's the only one God would accept. He said, I don't want your bread. I don't want your kid to eat. That ought to tell you something. When you pass the glass of wine and you eat, break the bread. He said, I don't want your bread. He ascended up as the sweet savor. Only him. Lord, thank you for this day that you've given us. God, thank you for your word and the beauty of your book. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.